Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Thursday, March the 2nd, 2023. I'm Naima Latif, and they will be joining a live White House briefing. But first in the news, weeks after postponing her originally scheduled visit, First Lady of the United States, Dr. Jill Biden, is scheduled to visit Ivy Tech Community College in Valparaiso Monday. And this originally planned visit to Valparaiso on February 17th, however, that visit was postponed. And as we know, she is returning from a trip to African nations. And now, of course, her extended travels continue on across the U.S. on Tuesday. Today, her office announced that she will come to Northwest Indiana and will be arriving along with the First Lady, the U.S. Deputy Secretary of Labor and nominee for U.S. Secretary of Labor, Julie Hsu, and the U.S. Deputy Secretary of Energy, David Turk, will visit the college. To highlight the Biden administration's commitment to strengthening our economy and building pathways to good-paying jobs through career-connected learning. This statement came from the Office of the First Lady. The three are scheduled to arrive at Porter County Regional Airport and visit Ivy Tech. And, of course, Dr. Jill Biden has been very intensely involved in promoting education. She has been consistently enhancing the stance of the Biden administration that education needs to be connected to vocations, so that those who are receiving training are being prepared for well-paying jobs and service that can make a major difference in rebuilding the infrastructure of the nation. Dr. Jill Biden has often made statements indicating that her focus particularly is that of education, and here we'll share with you some statements that she made regarding her trip to Kenya.
Anyway, this is my third visit to Kenya, and I have many incredible memories here. In fact, I told my granddaughter Naomi that coming here changed my life, and that's why she wanted to join me. So it's wonderful to be back, and I couldn't ask for a warmer welcome. And from soft lullabies to battle cries for justice, women nurse and nurture, teach and build, lead and dream our way forward each and every day. And while we have never been silent, women have been silenced. Right? For many women around the world, simply raising their voice is a struggle. And we've had to fight for a seat at the table. Yes. And Meg, I'm sure no one knows that better than you. So maybe it's true for all of us, really, that we've all had to fight for that seat. And your stories are an inspiration. And that's why I'm here today, because I want to listen to you, to hear about all that you have achieved, and then take your stories back to the United States with me. So, you know, we don't need studies to tell us that women are the engines behind the communities, right? We know that. But research says that it's true. And when women earn money, nothing better, right? We invest it in our families. And I know that because I am a working woman, and we become mentors and help others find success as well. We create jobs. And when women have the ability to participate fully in society, we create more peaceful, stable places to be. And when women get the opportunities we deserve, there's no limit to what we can do. Empowered women like all of you power our communities. And one of those women was Wangari Maathai. Yeah. The first African woman to win the Nobel Peace Prize. Pretty amazing. And you know her story, but it's so important, and I'd like to share it now for anybody who doesn't know, which probably not any of you. But so she was a professor, a woman after my own heart, at the University of Nairobi when she realized that trees were dying in Kenya. I love this story. It's beautiful. That the streams were drying up and the food was becoming scarce. And she remembered how her community in rural Kenya had survived off the land, and so she was inspired to act, right? We find solutions. We're women. So she started planting trees. She taught other women to plant trees, one seed at a time. They began to heal the earth around them. Soon they could earn incomes from the fruit that they grew, from the honey of the new bees, from the firewood that they gathered. And with that first tree sprouted a movement that changed the world. And it was only possible because women came together to support each other. And we push progress and we save our communities. So in her Nobel lecture, she said, and I quote, "In the course of history, there comes a time when humanity is called to reach a higher moral ground, a time when we have to shed our fear and give hope to one another. And like Maathai, you've changed the world in big ways, but you've also done it in small ways as well. One seed planted, one smile, right? One smile when someone needs it most, right? We intuit that. One hand taking another without saying any words at all. I'm here. You're not alone. When we come together as partners, when we come together to work against injustice, we can repair what's broken and we can build something new. We can be the arms of welcome, the hands of kindness. We stand, look at you now, shoulder to shoulder, and lift each other up when we fall. So thank you for giving one another and me hope. Thank you for the courage that it takes to run for office, to push science to new places, to create a business, to climb to new heights. Thank you for mentoring the next generation of women leaders, because I know that you do, and continuing to show us how high women can rise. And thank you for making your communities and your country stronger every single day. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
that was First Lady Dr. Jill Biden addressing women in Kenya during her recent visit. And her statement regarding the first African woman to win the Nobel Prize for planting trees sheds light on much of the solutions that can be grasped throughout Africa, where drought may have caused extreme hunger and a changing of climate. If women simply get together and support each other, things can change, states Dr. Jill Biden. And Dr. Biden continues more, and this, of course, this report was from NTV in Kenya. And the next, Dr. Biden speaks more on her Africa trip. This reports from VOA News.
There was none of the presidency's muscular national security-driven approach on display as First Lady Jill Biden smiled and hugged her way to Namibia and Kenya. Biden used hopeful words to touch on tough issues.
We face many of the same challenges, from climate change to economic inequality to strengthening democracy. African voices, African leadership, and African innovation are all critical to addressing the most pressing global challenges and realizing the vision we all share. A world that is free.
She also flexed her motherly muscles by bringing along one of her seven grandchildren and touting girls and women as engines of change. It's an uphill battle. As this South African series shows, transactional sex is the norm for young women, not the exception. That nation's president describes gender-based violence as a second pandemic. And girls are often excluded from education, as this Namibian girl was when pregnancy forced her out of the 11th grade. And Kenya's First Lady says many women in her country lack access to conventional finance, so they use informal lending networks like these, which don't have the protections or guarantees of banks and often traffic in smaller sums. President Joe Biden, who often calls himself Jill Biden's husband, said her visit shows his administration's strong commitment.
She met with the presidents and first ladies of both countries. She spoke to more than 1,000 young people, the first generation born out of apartheid in Namibia, and empowered them to as keepers of democracy. In Kenya, she met families affected by devastating drought and food insecurity and made worse by Putin's brutal assault on Ukraine. And it made it clear that America's commitment to Africa is real.
And by choosing to hold all of her high-profile events with female leaders, Biden conveyed a message of her own, with this possible nod to Namibia's First Lady, whose husband's second and final term ends next year. The future is female.
It's always time to have a female president, no matter what country you're in. So I'm very supportive of women running for office.
It's unclear whether the trip will result in new Africa initiatives or policy changes, but could have other impact, analysts say.
Dr. Biden has been a role model, not only in the education field, but with everything that she's done in her capacity as First Lady. That gives hope to girls who can grow up knowing that there's many roles that they can take on as adults, and they can move into fields that might have been denied to them. They might be able to get education.
If nothing else, Biden's visit challenges a belief that still pervades, and not just on the mother continent. That being born a girl means you lose in life. Maybe it means you'll win. Anita Powell, VOA News, Nairobi, Kenya.
And that report from Nairobi, Kenya, from VOA News. VOA is funded in part by the American government. But, of course, this report gives an impression of Dr. Jill Biden and her quest to push for the opportunities for women in many nations where culturally females have been held at a disadvantage as a result of an absence of access to education and financial opportunities, and cultural practices of gender-based violence, as well as inequalities in opportunities for leadership and advancement in business. So Dr. Jill Biden's presence makes a statement of America's position on women and empowerment of women. Today, the White House will be holding a live press conference with Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, and as always, the Biden administration seeks to answer questions, concerns about its involvement in the war between Russia and Ukraine, and how is that impacting global safety. Also, questioned have been recent incidences of aircraft shot out of the sky without identifying the source of that aircraft. Speculations that UFOs have been downed by the military have been debunked. UFO craft is certainly not accessible to American firepower, and those who have been observing any UFOs that are not using familiar forms of flight realize that those are craft that can appear and disappear, and therefore are not putting themselves in harm's way of being targeted and shot down. And Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre has stated that these were positively not alien spacecraft, but it's still unclear as to what their origins were, because based on where they landed when they fell from the sky, it has been difficult to recover the actual craft. So these reports have led to much speculation and conversation regarding whether or not these craft are related to any acts of war. So the war in Ukraine continues to be a source of concern, and the press has kept a continuous string of questions regarding how China and its involvement with Russia is impacting American-Chinese relations. Today's press conference may also address issues of the relationship between China and the United States, and how will those relationships be strengthened or threatened by Dr. Jill Biden's trips to Africa, to nations where there is a competition for some type of alliance and an economic relationship. These are issues that continue to surface in the news as the war in Ukraine appears to continue without any apparent means of creating an end. Are the leaders open to negotiation, or is this a battle that is being waged with America seemingly on the fringes, but very much involved and invested in the outcome? So today's White House briefing will be held shortly, and as always, live streamed on whitehouse.gov. But recent press briefings have also given insight on some of the questions that have arisen regarding the Supreme Court and other topics of concern. We'll share a bit of a recent White House briefing and take a look at what some are expressing and hoping that the president will address when it comes to making the American public aware of upcoming possible decisions coming out of this latest Supreme Court. And the White House announced a task force to crack down on migrant child labor, which is having an impact on the issue of immigration. Companies using migrant child labor may, in fact, be opposed to attempts to crack down. In Washington, it was reported that the Biden administration said Monday that it is creating a new task force to crack down on an explosion of the illegal exploitation of migrant children for labor in the U.S. Hundreds of companies that employed nearly 4,000 children last year were found in violation of federal labor laws, a dramatic increase in the last 5 years. The growing problem has put Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra in the hot seat, with concerns mounting that migrant children have been discharged from shelters and out of federal custody too quickly, pushing them into vulnerable situations where they're more likely to become victims of child labor. And as this report from the Associated Press continues, it says in a new video that's been circulating, first reported by the New York Times, the secretary urged his staff to discharge children from the federal government's broken system of shelters faster. Becerra told staff during a meeting last summer in a recording, "If Henry Ford had seen this in his plants, he would have never become famous and rich. This is not the way you do an assembly line." The Times investigation identified more than 100 migrant children, some as young as 12 years old, who say they're working overnight shifts and dangerous jobs from companies big and small throughout the United States. President Joe Biden still has, quote, full confidence in Becerra, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said Monday when asked about the secretary's job in light of the new report. She said, of course the president does not believe that processing migrants should be treated like an assembly line, and neither does Secretary Becerra. Secretary Becerra has long been viewed as an advocate for immigrants. He often talks about his own parents' experience immigrating from Mexico to the U.S. The administration has struggled with how to respond to a surge of migrants, including children, who travel alone at the U.S. border since President Biden first took office. In the fiscal year that ended last September, migrants were stopped 2.38 million times, up to 37% from 1.73 million times the year before. The total was more than twice the highest level during the Donald Trump's presidency in 2019. HHS and the Department of Labor rolled out new policies and the task force on Monday, while also promising stronger follow-up for the children who are moved from shelters to live with sponsors in the United States. The agency will help migrant children register for school. It will also now require staff to follow up with children who call the Office of Refugee Resettlement National Call Center to report safety concerns. The Labor Department also threatened to halt the shipment of products made with child labor. And this is an issue that can threaten the security of children and of families with companies that are choosing to reap profits based on the use of child labor. It's unknown which companies are, in fact, using child labor, but the Biden administration is vowing to crack down on companies that are exploiting child labor. Often the adults that were undocumented were succumbing to abusive work conditions because they were being threatened with deportation if they complained. So now we have the issue of ethics in many companies that may be very popular and offer products at great discounts, the reason being that they're using undocumented workers and perhaps even child labor. Well, that's all for today. Tune in to an upcoming live news coverage by the White House and Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. That's all for today. I'm Naima Latif. You've been listening to On Air Daily News. Join us again tomorrow, 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern. Until that time, enjoy the rest of your day.